This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The President of the United States meets with Vladimir Putin.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than to risk peace in pursuit of politics.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Very powerful statement from the president there, taking a political risk for peace rather than risking peace on partisan politics. So what we have is the President of the United States has met with President Putin in Helsinki, Finland. It was tentatively set for a 90-minute private meeting. That meeting went over 2 hours. Then there was a working lunch where others joined the president and also joined with both sides' diplomatic teams, including John Bolton, John Kelly, the chief of staff to the president, of course, Secretary of State, and the representatives from the Russian Federation as well. Now, having said that, a lot of issues came up, issues involving Syria and Israel. There was a meeting last week with the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and President Putin. So that issue was discussed. They also discussed issues involving the indictments that came down on Friday regarding allegations of Russian interference with the election by Russian officers. That allegation made in the form of a indictment that came down, that was discussed, the president raising that issue. The president said he trusted his intelligence services, but he acknowledged that Vladimir Putin, again, denies any involvement.
Denies state involvement. So he points to these actors, that building that we know that was running the troll farm, was not technically controlled by the Russian state. So he can say with a straight face and probably honestly, well, it wasn't technically the Kremlin doing this. It wasn't our government doing this. So you have all of these groups in America that do all sorts of political work that may be wrong or sometimes even illegal. That is not your government doing that. And so to try and make that distinction, I thought, though, the most important part of this speech was likely it came from the president when you think about the foreign policy relationship. And we played it in the opening of the broadcast, but I want to read it for people just to understand. He said, our relationship, talking about the relationship with Russia, has never been worse than it is now. However, that has changed as of about 4 hours ago. As of about 4 hours ago being the meeting between President Trump and his team and President Putin and his team. Think about what that means. Under 8 years of the Obama, Clinton, Kerry foreign policy and the Iran deal and all that coming together and the reset button with Russia, that you could confidently say that our relationship has never been at a lower point in history since the Cold War.
Yeah.
And the tide needs to change. And that's what President Trump is saying.
Let me bring in very quickly here both Skip Ash and Colonel Ash and Colonel Smith. Let me go to Colonel Ash first at our offices in Regent University. Skip, what was your initial reaction to this?
Well, I'm always a bit cautious when we talk with the Russians because the Russians are not our friends, but they are a nation that we have to deal with. So we have to deal with reality. And I think that's where the president has it right. We have to deal with the Russians. We need to get the measure of the man with whom we deal. And I think that's what's important here. And Putin's getting the measure of our president as well. So I think this is a good thing, but we have to go in with our eyes open. We have different interests in different areas.
Yep.
where we can cooperate, we should. And where we can't, we just can't.
And he called it it was interesting. The president called Vladimir Putin a competitor.
Right. Yeah. Russia is not our friend. Russia is an adversary. They are a competitor. But it is very important to talk with your adversaries and your competitors. I think the president is clear-eyed about this.
Well, he said it's better to do diplomatic. The diplomatic option is always better than any kind of other options, including conflict. All right, we're going to take your calls and reaction. We're giving you full analysis of this. We're just starting. We wouldn't want your reaction as well. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. They also talked about the Russia meddling issue. Vladimir Putin put a very interesting offer on the table. We'll talk about that when we come back. Was that more politics and show? I suspect it was from Vladimir Putin, but we'll talk about it. We'll give you an analysis, and we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
This is a good quote. I think this is part of a Trump doctrine here. You're going to see me play number 31, but let me set it up for you first. So this idea, Benjamin Disraeli said that diplomacy is basically war without violence. In other words, you're engaging the enemy, so to speak, or here you're the competitors, the president likes to call them, but you're doing without violence. The president has a very interesting, similar take of that. Let me play it for you, number 31.
From the earliest days of our republic, American leaders have understood that diplomacy and engagement is preferable to conflict and hostility. A productive dialogue is not only good for the United States and good for Russia, but it is good for the world.
He did say that he could take a political, he'd rather take a political risk. Go ahead.
I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than risk peace in pursuit of politics, talking about his own domestic politics at home, as if, you know, he could be this tough, strong guy and ignore Putin and blame him for everything. But instead of using it for politics, he is willing to pursue peace instead of just pursuing political gain for himself. And again, I do believe you put those two statements together, that is the Trump doctrine, at least I think when it comes to a power like Russia, a country which is a major power.
Yeah, recognizing exactly what Jordan said, that Russia is a major power here. We're kidding ourselves that we think they're not. So let me go first here to Wes. I mean, you look at the situation, and the president is dealing with a world power. Call him whatever you want to call Russia. He hit a whole lot of issues, including the issues of the 12 indictments that came down from the Russian military officers. Putin denies it. Offers to have Bob Mueller send a team over to watch an interrogation, but wants a reciprocal.
Yes, they get to come and question our CIA officers here. That's not going to happen.
Of course not.
That was a clever offer on Putin's part. But you look back, we have a 101-year history with the former Soviet Union and now Russia. And, you know, the name has changed. The behavior has not changed. The ploys, the subterfuge has not changed in 101 years. And yet at the same time, Jay, think about it. During the hottest days of the Cold War, we were continually in conversation with Soviet leaders and now Russian leaders. The president takes flack for talking, and yet, you know, as he said, talking is preferable to fighting each other. And yet we have a long history of all of our presidents engaging with Russian leaders. This is no different, and probably at this point, it's never been more important.
Skip, what was your reaction to let me play this statement, actually, that Jordan read, because I think it's important for people to hear it, and that is number 20.
I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than to risk peace in pursuit of politics.
This comes on the heels of some in the Congress telling the president he should not be meeting with Vladimir Putin in light of the indictments that came down in the Russian interference. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think he's exactly right. We need to engage with these folks. When you get to a situation where you have to resort to arms, you never know where that's going to go. You know, in the Army, we have this saying, you do a lot of planning, but a plan never survives contact. So once you get to the point that you have a military engagement, you never know where that's going to go. So what you want to do is try to stop that in advance. And what he's doing, he's reaching out, he's trying to get the measure of the man, and he's trying to say, okay, where can we cooperate? Where can we reduce the stress? He recognizes we have different interests and we're going to pursue them differently. But where we can cooperate, that builds confidence and it might lead to other things when things really get tense.
Let's go to the phone. Suzanne calling in from Nevada online 2. Suzanne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hello. How are you today?
Great.
I fail to understand something that maybe you can shed some light on. And that is that our election system in this country is very localized.
Yep.
It's not coordinated between states. There's no federal or one software or one type of machine anybody's using. I used to run the election department or be responsible for it in Nevada.
Yep.
I get it. I do not understand how Russia could hack a federal election. They might be able to mess with a few little things, because there are the Sequoia machines that you can literally...
Well, they haven't alleged, Suzanne, I'm glad you called, you a former election commissioner. They have not alleged, the allegations from Mueller's team has not been that they interfered with, I think Rod Rosenstein said there's been no vote impacted, no election changed as a result of the allegations regarding Russian interference. It was more hacking. In this particular case, it was hacking of emails. The previous indictment of Russians came down, and that was interfering with ads that were put up by Facebook or doing those through, I guess, Russian troll farms is what they were calling them.
That's right. And so you've got to differentiate between a country-to-country involvement. You don't have to go in and change votes. It's influence campaigns, I guess is the best way to say it. You know, we talk about fake news, putting out stories, whether they're true or not, but pumping those stories up, making them the number one stories, a negative story that may be true even, about a candidate that this country doesn't like, and making that an international story, but targeting it to a specific audience in a part of America, which we know, you know, is a purple area. So it's kind of doing things from outside the system to influence inside the system, your mind, on how you may make your decision.
Yeah.
And that's tougher to guard against than what we talk about when we think about, you know, hacking into changing votes. And remember, we've heard how many different intelligence officials have told us that not a single vote was changed because of Russian hacking.
Yeah.
Every one of them have said that on the record under oath. So it's not that kind of interference. We're talking about the idea game. And that's that Soviet style of a longer term that you can influence regions of the country and very targeted. You could go to the Rust Belt and have your message there and a different message for the Northeast and the Southeast and the West Coast. That's what we mean by how you can influence from the outside.
There's another interesting aspect of this, and that is this idea that the president has been soft on Russia. This comes out. But let me run off a list here. President Trump has been tougher on Russia probably than any recent president. The president authorized the sale of heavy weapons to Ukraine to defend against Russian aggression, something that President Obama refused to do. When Russian mercenaries attacked a base in Syria where U.S. troops were stationed, remember the U.S. and the Syrian Democratic Forces opened fire and killed over 200 Russians. They used the mother of all bombs?
Yes, Moab.
A Moab bomb. President increased sanctions against Putin's inner circle and selected Russian businesses over Russia's continued occupation of Crimea. He expelled dozens of Russian diplomats over chemical weapons attacks on two individuals in the U.K., expelled other Russians after the report last year of attempts at election meddling, enforced the red line in Syria where Russia's ally Assad used chemical weapons twice, attacking Syrian bases. I can go on and on, but Trump also deployed several U.S. Army brigades to Eastern Europe to put Russia on notice regarding any aggression there, and the president has increased military spending significantly. Russia has never been able to compete with the U.S. when it comes to military spending and equipment. And Colonel, I'll go to Colonel Ash first. That is exactly what the president has done. So there's you got this kind of hollering from the left, but the reality is much different.
That's exactly right. Let's just take the defense budget for a second. Russia is a world power because of its military capability. That's it. It is not an economic power. So what happens is when we raise the economic stakes, then Russia fails. So this is why it was so important when the president brought up that pipeline to Germany. Germany is subsidizing with billions and billions of dollars the military in the Russian Federation because they can't get money on their own. So that's why it's so important, and that's why the president keeps bringing that up.
Let me go to Wes on this. What was your thought? I just gave you a list, and that was not the full list. What's your sense of that? Because there is this narrative coming out of the left on this.
Yeah, it's a fallacy. This president in actions has been much tougher on Russia than his previous two predecessors, George Bush or Barack Obama. He is clear-eyed. He's a realist. On the other hand, you know, the left tries to paint him as being soft on Russia. The facts you just laid out, Jay, are undeniable. He has taken concrete negative actions against Putin and Russia and against Putin's inner circle. And so, you know, the left is trying to spin this in a way that's really not based in fact. The president, on the other hand, they say, well, he's not hard enough when he talks to Putin. Good diplomatic skills demand that you may have confronted and yelled at someone in one-on-one. You don't go before the microphone and talk about those personal confrontations. Exactly. The president, in that regard, is exercising smart diplomacy.
Yep.
I think we can answer Bob's call from Florida Online One very quickly because President Putin brought it up himself.
All right, Bob.
Welcome.
Yes. Hello. My question is, I've got two questions. Did the president and Putin discuss the Russian intervention in Western Ukraine?
Yes.
And has the U.S.'s position on that changed from the Obama administration?
No, and I think it's become tougher. You know, more sanctions have come down against Russian businesses in the last 24 hours and over the weekend. But what we do know is that Putin himself addressed this in the press conference just moments ago. He said, we acknowledge that the U.S. president and the U.S. government has a different view of our actions in the Ukraine. We believe we had the right to do it. You believe we violated the law by annexing that portion of Ukraine. And so he has acknowledged that the U.S. continues to hold that position that the previous administration held, that what happened in the Ukraine was wrong.
All right. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget also, ACLJ, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Well, any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. We got a big announcement coming up on a FOIA case of ours. We'll probably make that announcement tomorrow involving the United Nations, but we'll save that one for tomorrow. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Said, I hold both countries responsible for what he called at the time the worst relationship between the Russians and the Americans in a long time. But he said it's going to get better, and that's why he met. They met for 2 hours privately. It was scheduled initially for 90 minutes, and then there was a working group lunch, including Ambassador Bolton, Secretary of State Pompeo, General Kelly, the Chief of Staff, and others. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Skip Ash is in our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which I hope to have cameras up there soon for our TV audience. And Wes Smith is right here in our media headquarters. Jordan's with me as well. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Again, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Sharon's calling in from California on line 5. Sharon, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Sharon.
Thank you, Jay and team. I love you guys. I'm your biggest fan. Anyway, the USA is often accused of going after other countries' resources, and they touched briefly on the pipeline. So my question is, Does the USA have any intentions of getting involved with this pipeline, or will this pipeline pose a problem to any diplomatic relations?
Well, I think what the president did was rightly point out that while the NATO negotiations were going on funding and the concerns over Russia encroachment or possible Russian action, including to Germany, but Germany had a multi-billion-dollar oil and or gas deal with the Germans. So I think the president's right to raise that. And look, he acknowledged it in front of the whole press today. I mean, this is not anything. He certainly hasn't hidden what his views are.
No, and I think when it comes to this issue, as you know, gas, natural resources, power, that is what really fuels world politics because it keeps the lights on. It keeps people, if you will, it keeps people being able to cook at home, take warm showers. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. Power the streets, if you will. And so quickly, you know, you can use a lot of tough language, and then you see, especially in Europe, not so much in the United States because of where we are and the resources we have, but especially in that part of Europe, you'll hear this very harsh rhetoric between Germany and Russia, and then you've got a massive German investment in Russia and vice versa.
Yep.
As people saw if they were watching the World Cup, Gazprom was one of the major advertisers. Now, Gazprom gets in all sorts of issues legally around the world constantly, but all countries around the world deal with them, because they are a major natural gas conglomerate. And because of that, and because of the resources Russia has, that is one of the cards they have to play.
And the president keeps calling, you know, people say enemy, adversary. Here's the word he uses, competitor. Listen to 37.
No, actually, I called him a competitor, and a good competitor he is. And I think the word competitor is a compliment.
So, look, that came in the context of talking about that we, the United States, are a large natural gas supplier now and perhaps the largest in the world. Having said that, he acknowledged that Russia is a competitor. But a competitor that's however you want to use the phrase, look, I think not talking to the Russians, Colonel Smith, is a big mistake.
A huge mistake. You always want to talk with your adversaries and people with whom you have geopolitical and military differences. It would be foolish not to talk to them. The Wall Street Journal, by the way, Jay, reported last month that for the first time, the United States is sitting on more oil and natural gas than Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And of course, the issue with Germany buying from Russia is that Russia, because they're struggling financially, they use those profits from oil and gas to fund their military.
So, I mean, but Wes brings up a really good point, Skip, but the fact is, why should anybody be I think the president was right to point it out, but nobody should be shocked about this.
No, I mean, the Germans are operating in their own best interests, at least short term. The problem is that NATO was created to defend against the Russians and their allies. And the Russians have a history of using gas as a weapon. For instance, Ukraine gets most of its gas from Russia. When the Ukrainians didn't do what the Russians wanted, they cut off the gas supply. That would happen again if there were a problem between Russia and NATO. And then Germany, the linchpin in the center of Europe, would be without power. And that's very short-sighted. So that's why he raised the issue, especially when there is a source, the United States, that could provide that need for Germany.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take another phone call here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 3110.
Yeah, Jerry in Rhode Island on line three. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. The comments were talking about coming out of Congress. If they're from the Democratic side, you can expect them to say anything negative. There's clips of Trump studying as far back as 19, 20 years ago, the whole world order program and economics and power and warning on things and stuff that both colonels are talking about. They know we have to deal and talk to other heads of state.
Of course.
All the war colleges. We bring people in from other states just to talk to them so we have someone in their government to speak to at the time of crisis.
Right.
And we pay for that often, and people wonder why that. There's more common sense at a card game between Colonel Smith, Colonel Ash, Jay, Economo, Professor. You put Trump there, there's more objective common sense in that discussion than anything coming out of Congress or the tactically played 12 indictments. Trump is showing. I mean, in two years, he's got more done than how many? Ask both colonels. How many presidents, commander-in-chiefs in the last, since they were second lieutenants, how much is this gentleman who studied and knows how to negotiate, because money's involved, including energy sources? You know, if people just sit back and think and look objectively, don't listen to the pundits, but listen to somebody like both colonels, who, since they were second lieutenants, what have they seen going on and where are we at now? This man's done more in 24 months than anybody else in 8 years of...
Let me ask the colonels. All right, Colonel Smith.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he has turned the economy around. You know, the military morale is up. Defense spending is up. He has put our enemies on notice. He's reached out to our chief threat, North Korea, to try and work with them to denuclearize the peninsula. I mean, the president has very quickly followed through on many of his promises. And I think those on the left, both in the mainstream media and in the Democrat Party, they are allowing their political bias to not only cloud their professional judgment, Jay, it's clouding their patriotism. This Trump derangement syndrome, it doesn't matter what he does, they will look for a way to try and bring him down. Think about President Obama. He not only talked with the Russians, he sent a secret message to Putin saying, hey, after I'm reelected, I'll have more flexibility to give you what you want.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Do we have that one? Let me play it. Remember this one.
My last election, basically. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah.
And he said, I'll tell Vladimir what the next part of that said. Skip, your reaction to that.
Well, I think President Trump is more realistic. He's a businessman. He has to deal with things the way they are, and then he has to go and make decisions on that basis. And what he's done is he's looked at the world. He's seen all these problems happening simultaneously. He's not acting like President Obama, where I'm going to do health care and the rest of the world can go to pot. He's doing a lot of things at the same time. He's stepping on some toes, but he's being honest. He told us what he was going to do. He's now doing it, and I think that's what really offends the Democrats, because he said clearly what he was going to do. They didn't like it when he said it, and they don't like it while he's doing it.
All right, we are done with the first 30 minutes of the broadcast, but there's 30 minutes to go. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, and a lot of you do, go over to aclj.org, and you can watch the streaming version or audio only. You can also go to our multiple social media platforms and see the TV broadcasts of the daily program as well. We encourage you to do that. Phone lines will stay open for the next half hour, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And don't forget, to support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, you can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We encourage you to do that. But again, if you want to talk to us in the next half hour, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. See you soon.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
A lot of issues discussed in the two-hour meeting between President Putin and President Trump, including Israel, Syria, and the Golan Heights. I don't know if we have that sound, but I'd like to get that, because it's important to point out that both Benjamin Netanyahu and President Putin met last week about concerns in Syria. That was one of the issues on the discussion point. There was also issues discussed involving trade. There was also issues involving, and this is important to understand, the issue involving Russian interference. That issue came up as well. We're going to get to all of that in this next 30 minutes of the broadcast. We do have the do we have the sound about Syria? All right, I want you to listen to this. This is a common interest in dealing with terrorists, but also talks about Syria and the need for security for the state of Israel, number 23.
Crushing terrorists in the southwest of Syria, the south of Syria, should be brought to the full compliance with the Treaty of 1974 about separation of forces of Israel and Syria. This will bring peace to Golan Heights and bring more peaceful relationship between Syria and Israel, and also to provide security of the state of Israel.
And that mutual security, but that Russia is acknowledging the need for security for Israel, and also recognizing that the United States has taken direct action in Syria, which impacted Russian soldiers because they were there on the ground.
That's right. So, I mean, we have not been afraid here to take action. Remember the Tomahawk missiles that were launched right into Damascus and into Syria? I think the Russians got a minute notice to get your guys out of the way, but that was it. I mean, if they didn't get their guys out of the way, they were in harm's way. We are taking military steps. It's expected that many of the jets being flown by the Syrian military are being flown by Russians. We're not having a problem getting engaged in those. So we are not backing away from conflicts. It was President Trump in Mar-a-Lago sitting with the president of China who ordered the largest single attack on Syria and the Assad government than any president, including Barack Obama, who would see the horrible imagery and saw the rise of ISIS under his watch and sat back and did nothing. And it was President Trump who took moments, even while I was dealing with the Chinese president, and said, you know what, wait a minute, we're not going to be dealing with this human atrocities and chemical weapons. Let's do something about it. Let's fire some Tomahawk weapons near Damascus and let the regime know this isn't just about targeting ISIS. This can also be about targeting you.
Colonel Smith?
Yeah, and you think about Israel. You know, several times in the last year, Benjamin Netanyahu has gone to Russia to sit down with Putin. And again, that is not a bad thing. He needs to talk with him. Israel's security is on the line, and we are their chief ally.
Yeah, but Skip, it's a complicated relationship with the Russia and the Israelis, because it's also true that the Russians are backing the Assad regime. But I will tell you, there are Israelis that say they'd rather deal with Assad, the devil you know, so to speak, than someone they don't know, because they don't know what's behind it. It's a very complex situation.
It really is. The major point that the Israelis are concerned about is, if Assad stays in power, how strong will the Iranian influence be? Because they're the ones who are really upsetting the equilibrium in the Middle East. The Iranians and the Israelis definitely do not want Iranian forces on their border in the Golan Heights.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me give you a couple takeaways that I see. Number one, I think meeting is smart. Call them adversaries. Call them competitors. Call them Russia. It's smart. It is smart to meet with your competitor adversary, number one. Number two, very important to put issues on the table, whether it's Russian interference, whether it's the situation as it relates to Crimea, whether it is the situation with world dealing with the United States and Russia being two strong forces, dealing with terrorism. All of those issues are important. Better to meet with your competitor than the alternative. So that's my answer to the critics. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're about midway through the month, midway through our matching challenge campaign. You could help us. You go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We'll talk to you in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
President Putin and President Trump met for over 2 hours one-on-one and then another working lunch with the staffs, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Russian Foreign Secretary Sergei Lavrov, and John Bolton was there as well. John Kelly, the former general, is also, of course, the chief of staff. We're going to go right to the phones. We got a lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go grab another call.
Phil in New Jersey on line 4. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing, Jay?
Good.
Just wanted to ask two different points, the conservative and the liberal. What takeaways do both want from this Russia meeting, if possible?
So what takeaway do the liberals want? I think any failure of the Trump administration to be able to conduct a foreign policy at this high level with this many complications, including the fact that there is a special counsel investigating Russian interference in the U.S. election process. So they want to see this not work, not have a relationship. On the conservative side, I think we realize, as most conservatives and most Americans realize, you don't want to have a bad relationship with Russia.
Of course,
that
not.
Doesn't mean they are your best friend. But there's a difference between having a bad relationship and having an okay relationship, and it's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Good and bad is where you want to be with Russia. And it's not necessarily trust but verify, because I don't think you can go ahead and trust them. I think it's just you want to have a more positive working relationship with them. More times than not, there will be many times throughout that relationship, as Putin said, where you fundamentally disagree, but that doesn't have to end the relationship. We're too strong of countries to do that.
When they throw out the trust question, there was an interesting question given to Vladimir Putin about trust. This is the soundbites number 39, but let me set it up. It was basically, do you trust the president? Does the president trust you? Here's what he said.
As to who is to be believed and who is not to be believed, you can trust no one if you take this. Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States of America, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation.
There you have it. And it was interesting also, you mentioned the investigation, the Mueller probe. And what's interesting on that one is that Putin, it sounded like he invited Bob Mueller's team over to do questioning, but it ends up not being that. It ends up being, you could come over and watch us question these Russian officers that you've indicted, but we also want to have access to your CIA officials. Wes, that's a non-starter.
That is a non-starter. It was a clever response.
It was a clever response.
But here's the thing. You don't have to like your adversaries in order to respect them and their capabilities, to figure out where they're coming from, and also to figure out how to counter their malign activities. What the president has exemplified by talking and being open-minded but clear-eyed about it is common sense thinking combined with strategic thinking.
Yep. Let's go to Bobby calling in from Ohio on line six. Bobby, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bobby. Oh,
thank you. Hello.
Hi.
I am really upset with our Now I can't think.
Okay. We're going to come back to you a little bit later, Bobby. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and go to Kevin in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Hey, my question is, for somebody like me to consider in the middle, who I have distrust for both parties,
yep.
I don't understand where do I stand in the whole situation. And the analogy I gave a gentleman who answered the phone was, when President Obama was being apologetic, I hated that. The president of our intelligence agency, I hate that. But yep. Anytime I listen to a radio station on either side,
you got to find some. I think there's a balance. I think I figured out what you're saying, Kevin, is that you didn't like that President Obama had this whole lead from behind strategy. That being said, you don't love the way that necessarily this administration is fully kind of reversing that by engaging everything. I think look closely at what the Trump administration's done. It is not the typical Republican foreign policy. I think this is pretty unique and new for American politics. Now, some of it will look the same, you know, two leaders with their flags and their fancy events and their suits and ties and their leadership teams around them. But if you actually listen to the words and the policies putting together, this is something different, Kevin. We got to kind of extrapolate it over the next couple of years. These are not things that are going to come about in days and months. But I think if we look at this years down the road, President Trump is fundamentally changing how U.S. foreign policy is conducted through people like Mike Pompeo and Bolton.
So, Skip, what is your reaction to that exact point? Because the caller raises a good question, and Jordan, I like Jordan's response, but what's your reaction to it?
Well, I agree with Jordan. I think what we have here is a person who's not a natural politician. Here's a person who has dealt with business, and business, you have to be honest with each other to figure out where the strengths and weaknesses are to maximize whatever your gain is. And I think what's happening here, we see a president who doesn't pull his punches on. He's speaking to people publicly, and he's saying what's on his mind. He's saying exactly what most of us normal people seem to think. Why, for instance, is NATO paying so little when we're paying so much, when it's just as much their defense as ours? And he's saying this in such a way that he's catching these people by surprise, and it comes across as being very, it's not the normal, low-key diplomatic language. He's coming out and just saying what he thinks. And I think that offends somebody, and I think we're not used to it, but I think it's sort of a healthy change in the short term. But even as we saw today in the Trump-Putin presser there, the president was pretty diplomatic in a lot of things he said about Russia,
yep.
Where he's been less diplomatic in other fora.
Yeah, I think that's right, because when you're face-to-face, that you use, there's diplomatic language, there's diplomatic approaches, there's diplomatic protocols, all those put in place.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Diane, calling from California, online too. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, Jordan and Jay. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I was listening to Fox Business this morning and was surprised to hear Neil Cavuto call the president disgusting for not publicly calling Putin out on the Russian election meddling. And I'm just wondering how you feel about how the president addressed that with Putin.
I think it was addressed appropriately. I wasn't in the meeting, obviously, but the president said he raised it. He raised the concerns. I don't think you're going to see publicly what how that concern plays out. But he said he raised it. He said he was going to raise it. He did raise it. And then, but here's what happens when you raise these things. There's a process that's in place right now that we're dealing with here in the United States. And now Russia acknowledged that they had a treaty with us because someone asked about extradition. But listen to the way that Vladimir Putin played this. This is where the media let him just waltz into this. And I think this was in response to an American media request. Here it is, number 41.
Special Attorney Mueller, he can use this treaty as a solid foundation and send an informal and official request to us so that we would interrogate, we would hold a questioning of these individuals who he believes are privy to some crimes. And our law enforcement are perfectly able to do this questioning and send the appropriate materials to the United States. Moreover, we can meet you halfway. We can make another step. We can actually permit official representatives of the United States, including the members of this very commission headed by Mr. Mueller, we can let them into the country and they will be present at this questioning.
Yeah, okay. So this is... Okay, but there's another condition on that too, by the way.
Well, here's the thing.
And I'm going to play that condition in a moment.
These are always, we talk about these indictments that come down, these Russians by the Mueller team. They're not in the U.S. jurisdiction. So that's a big issue here. Now, what they've said is, come. You want to ask them questions?
Yeah.
Come along. We've got policies to do that. You think the Mueller team's going to be running along to do that?
Probably not, because here's the condition, number 42.
But in this case, there's another condition. And this kind of effort should be a mutual one. Then we would expect that the Americans would reciprocate and they would question officials, including the officers of law enforcement and intelligence services of the United States, whom we believe are who have something to do with illegal actions on the territory of Russia. And we have to request the presence of our law enforcement.
So there you go. So that doesn't happen. But that's just the nature. Look, this is the nature of what it is. Hey, we're coming up. Let me get one last thing here before we go to a break. In last segment, we take all your calls at 800-684-3110, all that we can get to, and we should be able to get to all of them. Skip, what's your takeaway from this? I'm going to ask Wes the same thing.
I think it's important. It's a first step. I think the two leaders are getting to know each other. I think that President Trump did raise important issues, and I hope that he raised the concern on the members of the public and the Congress about Russian meddling so that they do it some more. They can expect to have more consequences from the United States.
What do you think?
Yeah, we are not privy to the confrontation in the closed-door meeting between the president and Putin, although the president said he confronted him about the election meddling. I take his word on that. We do not need to know about the details of that confrontation, I don't believe. What will be interesting, Jay, is because the president has called Putin on this, it'll be interesting to see how much Russian meddling there is in the elections coming up in the fall.
Yep. You know what the left wants? The left is hoping and praying they could have some screaming match on camera between Donald Trump and Putin, because that would be so scary to the world. The two major nuclear powers having their leaders scream at each other. These guys are way smoother than that. They are way better than that. Their respective fields they come from, intelligence and business, to do that. Now, behind closed doors, it may have been pretty bare-knuckled, brawling, when it came to words being used. I bet it was between these two.
I agree.
And when it came to meddling. But in front of people, they put their suits and ties on, and they do what their job as leaders of their countries. And that's what we saw today. Not always in agreement. Most of the time, actually disagreeing with each other back and forth, but doing it in a way that doesn't have to make the world scared.
All right, we're coming up to the last segment of the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed now, but they'll open up. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments and questions in by Facebook as well, and we'll get to those. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris. He's on line one in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Joe. First of all, I want to thank God for electing President, having the American people elect President Trump. He is a godsend, as well as you protected him in all avenues. I thank you for all the work you do. I just, comment. I just don't understand why everyone's just complaining about this Russian interference when they should be worrying about the security systems that we have in place. We're so vulnerable, and we're supposed to be a superpower. No one's even discussing that.
Well, look, I want to find out about Russian interference. I mean, I think every American does, and you know, we shouldn't be shocked. This, by the way, was this not the first time this ever happened? We're acting like this happened in 2016, and the Russians were never trying to influence before. They've utilized covert operations. We've read about them. You've read about them for decades. The fact is, this time the technology is different, so the impact is different. But look, I don't think there's any doubt that the Russians were probably trying to interfere with the Russians. I don't have direct evidence of it, anything other than what you're seeing and the same things I'm seeing. Having said that, the reality is that to stop the discussions with the Russians because of that doesn't make a lot of sense either.
No, absolutely not. I mean, first of all, they are going to continue to interfere. The U.S. will never admit it. We'll continue to interfere. We are major world powers that are opposed to many different issues. We are not enemies in the common sense that we want to see mutual, destruction. But there's a lot of foreign policy decisions around the world, outside of our countries even, that we see differently. We see that we'd like to see different outcomes in. So we're doing it. They're doing it. We got a lot more info on about it because there was a lot of technology involved this time around, through the use of the Facebook ads and contacting people that way. But real intelligence is the work that is done. And that has not stopped since the end of the Cold War and the beginning of the Russian Federation. And it will not end because when the Trump presidency is over.
All right, let's go to Jonathan, who's calling on line five from Montana. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I'd like to first thank God for ACLJ and for President Trump. I think both of those are a blessing to the United States of America and the world. I wanted to touch base on something that the colonel was talking about earlier, how the Russians use the natural gas lines as a weapon against the countries that they provide natural gas to. I was in the Marine Corps in 2005 and 2006, and I was deployed over to the Republic of Georgia. And just before the coldest day of the year in 2006, in January, the Russians cut the gas lines coming into Georgia, which was the primary source of heat for the Georgians. And it was down for I think, several weeks, if I recall correctly. And most of the Tbilisi didn't have any kind of a heat source.
Mm. So, Wes, what is the – I'm going to ask this to Skip as well. Energy is a weapon?
Absolutely. And they did a similar thing in Ukraine, I think, last year or the year before last. They do use it as a weapon. And the other thing that's involved with this is, of course, Germany cooperating with the gas line. And then, of course, we have Turkey trying to buy their missile defense system. What Russia's goal has always been is to try and fragment NATO and the NATO partners, and they can use their gas and fuel supplies to Europe to try and do exactly that.
So, Skip, the issue of using energy as a weapon.
They do it all the time. They say that they won't. They get the money from it, but they get you dependent on their energy. And then at the time when it gives them the maximum leverage, then they can use it as a weapon. They can either blackmail you, say, if you don't change your policy, we'll cut it off, or they just cut it off. And as we said, that's happened before. I didn't realize it happened in Georgia, but I knew it happened in Ukraine. And Germany would be a prime target if anything was going south in the relationship between East and West.
Well, this is an administration who started to look at some of those strategies and say, you know what, if you sit there at the UN and vote against every one of our interests over and over and over again, maybe you're not going to get that U.S. aid anymore. So we've been the country that said, we'll give you everything that we've got and more. We'll tax our people to death to give you aid to your country. And we don't care that you vote against us 98% of the time at the UN. Russia would never accept that. And this administration, the Trump administration, has said, we are re-looking at our policy at the UN. We're retooling it to look more like a policy that it's not like 100% of the support. But if you are actively working against the interest of the U.S., you're no longer just going to get the checks from the U.S. And I think some of that, again, Russia can be more extreme with, but some of it is actually smarter, again, international politics. The U.S. has been the world's, we've been the world's bank really, even though there is a World Bank. And like President Trump has said, when it comes to NATO, when we're funding most of it, even though you've got these other, you know, wealthy countries involved as well. Let's go to the phones. Rob in Ohio on line four. We mentioned some of this, but it is pretty outrageous what John Brennan is saying. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Rob.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I'm a fan of Jay and your team, and I'm a fan of Trump. Brennan called Trump treasonous and grounds for impeachment.
Yep.
Can you please comment on that? And also, February 17th of the I'm sorry, on February 17th of 2018, the New York Times published an article about Russia isn't the only one meddling in elections. He did it, too. I'll hang up now.
Well, I just told you about what the United States did, the State Department, through the under the Obama administration with Israel. But here's John Brennan. He sent two tweets. One was, why did Trump meet one-on-one with Putin? What might he be hiding from Bolton, Pompeo, Kelly, and the American people? How will Putin use whatever Trump could be hiding to the advantage of Russia and hurt America? Trump's total lack of credibility renders spurious whatever explanation he gives. It was just a direct personal attack on that. It was an ad hominem attack. That's what that was.
With Kim Jong-un like that, and they had translators there.
Yeah, okay. Also, John Brennan then sent out later, Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he's wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? To say that the press conference, I'll tell you where I am, read what the Constitution actually says. Treasonous? High crimes and misdemeanors? What exactly was a high crime and misdemeanor? This is where the rhetoric makes it not credible. This is not credible. And I'm just going to leave that one at that. Let's take the last call.
They, by the way, Putin's new power is a creation of John Brennan and the Obama administration.
Yes.
They took the lead from behind approach. Guess who showed up back in the Middle East? Russia.
Yeah, they, and I'm not saying that's treasonous, but it was a horrendous policy.
Yeah, who created the vacuum for ISIS? The Obama administration by pulling out of Iraq.
Not treasonous, but a horrendous policy.
Right. I mean, you know, so you can talk about bad policies that you disagree with, but to go into level of people
but
should
this
be.
This hurts them when they do that.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think that this shows you how far the left has gone outside the world of reality. One more call. Aaron in Wisconsin on line two.
Really quick. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
It's kind of a question and a comment. You know, when he first was running for office, everybody kept telling, you know, that he was a warmonger and going to get us into a war. And he comes out and he is so great when it comes to talking to these people. And every time he talks to a country, they say he's too soft. What do they want? What does the
media
want?
Well, they didn't say he was too soft
want.
When he talked to Germany, but they'll say, oh, that was a NATO ally, as if you can't be critical of a NATO ally who wasn't carrying their freight and is worried about Russia while they're giving Russia billions of dollars for natural gas. So look, this is just the nature of it. He's not afraid to use our military. You saw that in Syria. I think that kind of attitude. Look, this is a Trump doctrine. It's a different, you got a different president, different reactions. That's what's happened. We will have more analysis on this tomorrow. This hour has flown by. And I suspect that overnight you'll see reaction from the left starting to come in. We'll be able to analyze that on tomorrow's broadcast. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge campaign. You can participate in it by going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we end up getting a matching gift for. So I encourage you to do that at aclj.org. And again, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll give you an in-depth analysis. Make sure you stay engaged on our social media pages. Mine, Jay Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. I would say at Than Bennett. He's not here, but he'd still like you to do it as well. Talk to you soon.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.